Places, please. Places for the top of Theater Countdown.
Woo! Oh, I love that intro. It just gets me going. Hello, friends. Welcome to Theater Countdown, where we count down theater-related things. I am theater enthusiast Michael Judson Barry.
And Broadway producer.
And Broadway producer sometimes, and former Broadway casting director. I've dabbled in Broadway so much, here and there and everywhere.
I feel like my self-appointed title has got you all in a tizzy.
Thank you.
And it's me, your Broadway buddy, Ben Cameron.
Yes, you're definitely my Broadway buddy for hyping me up like that. I appreciate it. How are you today, good sir, on this recording on a very rainy day here?
We are, which is the perfect day to podcast, to get into our deep and true feelings about the greatest duets in the musical theater canon.
Yes.
And that's what I'm here to do.
Same. And it was surprisingly very difficult. As I said in the last episode, I had a list of about 40 songs and I couldn't even choose. So I was just following my heart. As they sing in Urinetown, which is also duet.
But is it on the list?
We're going to find out. So, and before we get too far, we have special guests this episode, which I'm so excited about, the theater lovers.
The theater lovers who are not only lovers of theater and very funny on social media, but they are lovers of each other.
I know. Isn't that wonderful? Like, yeah. I love when that happens, when people live up to their names in multiple ways, in a myriad of ways.
That's the nice part of their relationship, is that it lives up to the name.
Exactly. Yeah. And they are hysterical. So I'm so excited to chat with them and hear what their top five duets are, because I'm sure they're going to be incredibly magical.
Well, they're very, very clever. So I have a feeling they're gonna hit us with the, they're gonna slap us across the face with a fish or two.
I can't wait. Yeah. In proper Spamalot style.
Exactly.
Oh man. And also, friends, make sure you're following us. Speaking of people on social media, at Theater Countdown, correct? with an R E.
Yes.
Because we are classy folks, not ER, except for on Twitter, sometimes known as X, where we are Theater Count. Because we were so excited, we didn't even get to the down part. We were just counting. Up and down, side to side. We're counting everywhere on Twitter. Every which way. It's same as news. I just discovered today what news stands for, which I did not know. North, east, west, south. When it first started. I don't know. This is what my boyfriend this morning saw a thing on Instagram, and he informed me newspaper, why it was called news. It stood for North, East, West, South, and then paper was like publication, something that also stood for things. Yeah. Not that it was just printed on paper, which I think the people who did the paper were doing a little much, but because I think it literally was printed on paper. But apparently that's where the word news comes from. If I'm wrong about that, if my boyfriend lied to me this morning, let us know in the comments. This has nothing to do with theater, but let us know in the comments if what news actually stands for, and at some point bring it back to Newsies, and that will bring us back to Broadway.
Paper is past and present event report.
Oh, so
north,
it actually
east,
does.
East, west, south, past and present event report newspaper. My mind is.
How was this not a song in Newsies? Cyndi Lauper she missed a really great opportunity.
When she wrote Newsies. Yeah, she sure did.
And that choreography, they could have been everywhere. They would have done more than just some, you know, spins on a newspaper.
They could have.
Or not just, I don't mean to downplay that. That was impressive.
It was impressive. I would have broken an ankle. I practically did, sitting in the seat at the Nederlander Theater watching them. The seats are quite small at the Nederlander Theater. That's neither here nor there. Hey, if you really like the show, which we hope you do, make sure that you're a part of our Patreon family, where the community really comes alive. We're going to have special meetups every week. We've got bonus episodes, so we're going to talk about all the things that very nearly made each of our countdown lists, which may be some of the things that you were mad at us for missing in the first place.
And you can
let us know on the social medias, because we want to read those out loud to you. All right.
Yes. Shall we get into our guests?
Let's get into our guests. Yeah, they're here and they've got things to say. And I love theater, and you love theater, and they love theater, and they love each other. Oh my God, let's find out how this goes. Come in.
All right, it's time. I'm too excited. I'm percolating. I can't do it any longer, Juddy. We need to open the door and let our special guests in. Today, it's, as we mentioned, this is double the trouble, double the fun, double the theater love. Let's welcome, come on in, it's the theater lovers!
Hey, well, and Rachel, hello!
What an honor.
Oh my gosh. The fanfare of it all. You have
a whole line of waiters doing the duck walk in Harmonia Gardens.
Absolutely.
Never go away again. You open the door. We're here.
I love that you mentioned the duck walk ahead of Hello Dolly, because it doesn't matter. The waiters gallop in Hello Dolly, like they're going freaking nuts and doing jumps and splits and turns and blah, blah, blah. But the audience will never go quite so wild as a sensible duck walk around the passerelle.
Sensible duck walk.
Absolutely. Yeah. Led by Bernadette or Betty Buckley if times are tight. You know,
Caroline Carmelo.
Yeah. Now, that is not to suggest that I have any ill will or feelings towards Betty Buckley. I'm just saying she probably doesn't duck walk as well as Donna Murphy. Let's be honest about that.
She does a buck walk.
Okay, that was great. Thank you for your time. You can go now.
It's that only down from here.
Woman now, done.
Of course, together, like the Power Rangers, you make the theater lovers, but you do indeed have your own God-given Christian names. Well, I mean,
our government names, yes.
Our government
names. Your government names, yeah.
Rachel Joyce and Will Anderson.
That's right.
Is who you are. But you're a real life human, and we don't get to see this very often, a human heterosexual couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, not to out you on a podcast. I'm so sorry.
Oh my God. My mom's right.
I hope I don't know if you've told your families yet or your friends, but.
Listen, what I'm saying
is it's okay, though. It's okay.
There's room for all of us.
Thank you. I agree.
What I'm saying is Michael and I do an awful lot of chatting about our very homosexual relationships, and you're the first heterosexual couple we get to dive into. So this is very well,
just metaphorically speaking.
Yes.
More the merrier.
Yeah. Rachel, how did you guys meet? In my mind, you were doing a production of Hello Dolly, and you looked across the room, and it only took a moment or something. So, what's the story?
You're not terribly far off. Actually.
Oh wait, because I was gonna guess Kiss Me Kate. I was gonna say the same thing.
So we did meet in college. We're both AMDA kids. The story goes, because AMDA famously has two campuses, a New York and a Los Angeles. I started in LA and Will started in New York. We were then in New York at the same time, didn't meet. He lived two floors above me to the unit. And we joke all the time that like we had to have ridden the elevator together, and he must have thought that I was like obnoxious because he was very quiet and I am not. And then it was almost a year later that we were both back at AMDA LA, and we got cast in a student-written one-act, two-person play. Mm-hmm. We got cast. We sat down for coffee together, and we've been together ever since.
Wow.
The crazy power of the showmance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Crazy.
That's crazy.
Against all odds, we're still together. And we've been together about 12 and a half years.
12 and a half now, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And married for almost three.
Wow. And you have a puppy now.
And we have a puppy. Her name is...
real quick, what is it?
Okay, so it's a girl. She's a Cavapoo. Her name is... A Cavapoo. So it's a King Cavalier...
King Charles Cavalier Spaniel.
And poodle mix. And her name is Dot Surratt, because she's very tiny, like a little dot. And she's a redheaded model who can't read.
That's perfect.
Hope that all of you listening are taking the meaning here. And if you don't, it's time for you to move on.
Oh no. Oh, someone in this collar, George.
Crazy.
It's, oh God, okay. And when did you guys start? So theater's just a part of your life. You guys have always gone to theater together.
Always, yeah.
Experienced, yeah. When did you take to the interwebs and to the social medias and find your voice there?
I'll let you take this one.
We started the page in February 2019.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As just kind of, originally we were going to make like a YouTube page, and Instagram was kind of a secondary way to promote that, because we're like, we know it, video editing takes longer, so we're gonna have like some images in the meantime. And then we found we were such we so disliked video editing,
hated it.
Oh no,
hated it.
We're like, well, let's just keep the Instagram going, and that's what really took off.
Stumbled into meme making.
Yeah.
Oh God, I'm so glad you did, because they are genius, by the way.
Thanks.
They are so fun. I'm gonna pull up your page real quick, Ben, while you chit chat.
Yeah, but not for nothing. There's still a fair amount of editing that has to go on.
We've gotten better over the years, but it was like we really went with like almost no skill set, and we were like, yeah, we'll just make long form YouTube videos, yeah. And it was taking forever, and I hated them. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah. These aren't entertaining, these aren't funny, like it's not us, it's like we're trying to be something that we're not. Mm-hmm. And then we figured out very quickly that, like, essentially, because we've been together for so long, mornings over coffee, we were making all these little connections and jokes, and it was like, oh, that's what we should be putting out on the internet, not like trying to like make something, you know, that it just didn't feel like us. Maybe eventually we'll get to long form YouTube now that we've learned so much, but it's just never been our bread and butter whatsoever.
Well, it comes down to authenticity, right? And I think that's why it flies. It's your connection and your love of theater combined makes me, like I said, when I first saw your faces, I feel like we're in a throuple. I already feel like we all know each other.
What's the tax break on that?
It's got to be huge, right?
It's pretty good. Yeah.
But we have to go. We have to go threesies on the curtain cleaning.
Fair enough. Yeah, fair enough. But I'll also say it's authenticity, and it's also trial and error, because if we had never tried YouTube, I don't know that we would have found our Instagram thing in the same way.
Yeah.
So I always encourage people to just throw spaghetti at the wall, mm-hmm. and see what sticks, because like if you're getting so stuck on, you know, I've committed to this one thing and it's not working, so it's a wrap, like you're never going to find the thing that's like actually what you're supposed to be doing. I feel like in my heart of hearts, we are supposed to be making theater memes, as absurd as that is.
No, but you are
I truly feel like
good at it.
Part of why we're on this earth is to bring people joy in this weird little way. And we would have never found that if we hadn't failed at the other thing first.
We've thrown a lot of spaghetti at the wall. A lot of people have a gallery wall. We've got a spaghetti wall.
Big spaghetti. Yeah.
That's why I was on a Food Network show.
That's right.
But it was famously. Worst cooks in America. Famously. Because
so the pasta so wasn't even done.
Yeah, it wasn't finished. It was actually just boiling water that I threw at a wall with some remnants of flour in it. I have to say, I just opened your Instagram. So also one thing I think that is so brilliant about what you guys do is that like it's theater jokes that are also really funny to people who know nothing about theater.
Yeah.
Who just, I think is so brilliant. Like, it's that much funnier if you know the world, but like this one that first came up, which had me hollering the other day, by the way, was the one of Stephen Sondheim with his really long like thing of score in front of him, but it's like 12 pages, and it's me, my CVS receipt after I buy one item, and it's just like everyone knows that feeling, and then like the niche one, the like actors the night before they need to be off book. But the CVS receipt, I literally stopped and guffawed at that one.
I want to give credit where credit's due on those. So every once in a while we run caption contests. So we actually did not write that one.
Oh.
Which is kind of funny because I would say 99.9% of the stuff on our page is us, but I don't want, for the record, I don't want to not give credit to the person, but we have them tagged in the corner of that one. But we did curate the winners.
Yes.
Nice.
And you know what that is? That's direction and collaboration right there.
The image, and we picked the winners. And I love running caption contests because a lot of people submit stuff to us all the time, and it's like I don't necessarily feel comfortable sharing other people's work unless it's sort of curated in that way, because I don't want it to get confused, like, and take credit where it's not due. That's very important to us too.
Well, also, have you had crossover with Golden Girls fans, by the way? Because you've had, you have some really good Golden Girls ones on here.
Oh yeah,
like them in prison with the "he had it coming, he had it coming" there.
Yeah, that is us.
Like, but that's why I'm feeling about
the Golden
Girls. We
go around the apartment, just like, "Miami is nice, so I'll say it thrice." And we combine it with that Grand Hotel commercial. It was like, "I'm going to see it thrice." So it's very far removed.
Yeah, it's a hat on a hat on a hat.
Listen, there's a hole in the ozone. Wear as many hats as possible.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That's good advice.
You're going to look like a little me poster with all these hats.
I'm a huge Golden Girls lunatic nut job as well. Mm-hmm. So you're speaking my language. You're cuter than an inner uterine is what I'm saying to you. It's what I want you to know.
Oh my gosh.
So Michael just said some of the ones he loves. What are your personal favorites?
Oh, yeah. Also, throughout the Singing in the Rain one, where it's them dancing to go "Literally No One, Me and My Buddies at 3 a.m. Also, "Been There." Yeah. "Been There." That's such a good one.
It's a universal experience.
Real quick, what are some of your favorites? If you can think of them.
The first one that comes to my mind is one that we made, and it's like Tinder, and it says it's a match, and it's Zeitel and Laser Wolf in the photos. Dumb. So stupid. One of our more popular ones.
That just broke Ben, I hope.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, sorry.
Oh, my God.
Well, so dumb.
He's a nice man, a good match. True? True.
True.
Yeah.
Match by the algorithm.
Match by the algorithm. The modern Yenta. The other one that we share a lot, and it's very popular, is one that Will photoshopped forever ago, and it's so impressive. And it's Mandy Patinkin and Bernadette Peters playing Connect Four, but instead of saying Connect Four, it says Connect George, and he's like,
And it also says, instead of a Connect Four in a row game, it says a red game. Four reds.
Red. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was like, once again, watch Sunday in the Park. I'm so sorry. That one went over even my head.
It's too much.
No, it's
too much. But
it
I think
when you see it.
That's also I think that's the beauty of what we do is like there's always layers. So it's like, if you get the baseline joke, that's great. If you get the joke under, like, there's just a lot. Another thing that Will loves to do that I think is so brilliant is typically, we watermark everything. Mm-hmm. And typically the watermark will be in the font of either the show or the reference that we're making. Mm-hmm. So he has like this insane just treasure trove of different fonts and can tell you, you know, this show uses this font and da da da. He's a genius.
Thanks.
I love that. It's all about the design, right?
Just having a little bit of extra fun with it. Like the little extra details, I think. It's like, if you notice it, great. If you don't, that's okay. It's we know.
If you're three levels deep nerd, then it's there for you.
Yeah.
It's like,
and then
Inception.
The fourth level is the captioning, which the captioning is normally just this like essay of context.
Yeah. Well, that's what I say. Also, you learn a lot from yours. Like the one I saw recently was from the Wicked trailer where you were like, "It's green," and then finding out that the Damn Yankees vinyl is different from the Damn Yankees cover, mm-hmm. where one is green, one's red. And then when you went to the redhead one where it was like the same one but a slightly different sketch, and it's just like, why?
Why?
Why did they make Gwenverdin just a hair different? Yeah. Anyway, that stayed with me for a while, and I was down a deep Google rabbit hole after that because I love Gwenverdin, so I was very excited by that one. But that's what I mean. Like, it's educational and hilarious.
That's the goal. So it's working.
The children need to know. Talk to me about March 22nd is a huge theater person holiday, since it is the joint birthday of Android Weber and Stephen Sondheim.
Sure
and
was.
You said enough sitting around. We're going to do... We're taking action. We're taking action on this, which I think is hilarious.
That's true.
Yeah. So tell us about the show.
Webbenheimer.
Webbenheimer.
Yeah, oh, that would have been so much.
Wow.
That would have
where were you 2 months ago? So it's the combined birthday of Stephen Sondheim and Andrew Lloyd Webber. Crazy. And similar, like you said, it's like nobody ever really does anything about it. And I was like, this is such a perfect cabaret. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like, for a while I had I really didn't make this public, but I had freelanced as the social media manager for the Cats tour, the North American tour. So I had like contacts with like Taylor Harris, who played Grisabella, and Hank Santos, who played Rum Tum Tugger. And like the audiences loved them. So I was like, come and sing those songs. And then we have, you know, all these incredibly talented, Jay Savage that was in Bad Cinderella, F. Michael Haney, who's about to be in Heart of Rock and Roll, who've like all done Sondheim, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Mm-hmm. I was like, just come and do a number. And we bought birthday hats and made gift bags and like goodie bags and sang happy birthday. Yeah.
We closed with happy birthday.
That's true. Will put together, with just minor help from me, but this was probably 90% him, 10% me. He arranged a mashup of Andrew Lloyd Webber and Sondheim songs. How many songs was it?
There were 31 songs.
31 Holy different moly. Songs.
What?
Yeah, in 4.5 minutes. Yeah. We're going to post it. Hopefully, we're getting the footage today. So it'll probably, by the time you're watching this, listening to this podcast, it'll be up. But, yeah, it's like what I was most proud of. It was such a labor of love. But yeah, it went over really well. A lot of people were like, let's do it again next year. And I was like, that's exactly what we were hoping for. And honestly, you know, when you do a show and people are like, it was fun. And like, that's the worst thing people could say.
Yeah,
I was looking for it was fun exclamation point. And we got it.
And you got it.
Yeah,
there's a very big difference.
Yes,
it was fun. Dot dot dot. Versus it was fun. Exclamation point. We know the difference. But yeah, it was just a wonderful time. It was at the Green Room 42. It just went over so gorgeously, and all the performers, the audience. It was just a wonderful evening.
I just respect and salute you for taking action while the rest of us sat around like dopes, thinking,
yes,
updating our Facebook.
Yeah.
To just wish them happy birthday. Finally, you did something about it. The rest of us.
We didn't have a Sondheim letter to post, so we had to.
Yeah. I love the Sondheim letters.
I love the Sondheim letters.
The Sondheim
it's
letters.
It's one of my biggest regrets that I never wrote it, but what would I have even said?
It doesn't matter. If you're listening. Could have been like, what's your favorite pancake recipe? And he would have written back. He would have been
I'm going to start writing everybody like that. I'm going to be a menace.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you don't know this, Sondheim famously responded to whatever you sent him, but in the most Sondheim way, unofficial Stephen Sondheim letterhead. And it would be very direct, very blunt, like two sentences long. Like, it's just
typewritten, right? It was on a typewriter and then signed.
But everybody's ever worked with them, of course, posts that and is like, oh, this is the one time Steve, because if they wrote him one, they call him Steve, wrote back to me. And it's just this like crazy kind of acerbic response to whatever they wrote. We're like, oh, he's smarter than me. Okay, great. Moving on. But speaking of fun with with an exclamation point, let's have some. Let's play a little game, shall we?
Yes, I'm so excited. I don't know what today's game is. So.
None of us know. Chris will have to tell us.
I say this every time. I'm like, I don't know. What are we going to play?
All right.
What are we playing?
Hit us, Chris.
We have a game. It's called Theater Password. I'm not sure if it's called Theater. It's going to be called Theater Password. I've just decided in this moment it's called Theater Password. Great. It's going to be a Teams game. You'll have four categories to choose from. The way it works is you'll have 30 seconds in each round. One person will be the clue giver while the other is the guesser. The guesser will try to guess a series of theater-related things based on the category and, of course, the clues offered by their partner. If the clue giver inadvertently says part of the word, I'll give you a buzzer. It sounds like this. It's a little aggressive. I apologize. And then we'll move on to the next clue.
You've got to rein us in somehow.
I got to. Yeah. I had the button. You think I would use it more often, but I love to hear you all talk.
I know.
So because Will and Rachel are guests, I will let Will and Rachel choose first. You have four categories to choose from: theater anatomy, Tony Baloney, the webs we weave, and finally, don't know much about history.
We don't know much about history.
Yeah. Don't know much about history. And who wants to be the guesser and who wants to be the... What word did I use for the clue giver?
I feel like that's a better fit.
Guessee.
You're going to be the guessee?
Guesser and guessee?
Yeah, guesser and guessee. Yeah.
I believe it's Gussie.
Gussie.
Who wants to be the Gussie then?
Gussie Carmichael, yeah.
Gus, Gus.
Gonna put my whole Gussie into this.
Stop. Oh, edit that out.
No.
Edit it out.
That is welcome
absolutely
here.
Absolutely not.
We're ruined.
And that was how they were canceled. Good thing you got the birthday celebration in, because you ain't getting a Christmas one now.
Enjoy it while, we've been waiting for this. Our inevitable cancellation.
Isla, you're going to have to work way harder than Gussie.
That's true.
Come on, people, put your back into it.
Will, you're going to be the Gussie?
Yes, I will be guessing.
I will be giving the clues.
Realizing, Chris, that you have a tiny little, like, 1970s game show host microphone.
I do.
Yeah.
Because my other real microphone fell off of my wall the other day, because I'm not sure what my walls are made of, honestly. And it just completely pulled off, so I have this one here. I feel like Bob Barker.
Could you look like Bob Barker.
Perhaps it's the spaghetti wall.
Thank goodness.
Can you tell us to spay and neuter our pets?
Yeah.
So I'm sending Rachel you a text now. Let me know when you receive it so we can keep
I have received it.
You received it. That's my number. You can just text me if you want.
Anytime.
Anytime. I'm always available. This round is going to be Broadway musicals based on real events.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 30 seconds starting from right now.
My first Alex Timbers musical.
Robert Bridegroom?
Uh-uh.
Bloody Bloody Andrew Jackson?
Correct. Jeremy Jordan in a car.
Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes. Jeremy Jordan with a newspaper.
Newsies.
Folks Are Dumb Where I Come From.
Annie, Get Your Gun.
Yeah. Your least favorite musical. No, I'm not going to word it like that.
Is it the Civil War?
No.
And time is up, unfortunately.
It's better that we didn't. Why did I wear it like that?
What was the last one? You can reveal the last one then.
It was Diane.
Oh, that's
that was
fine.
Your least favorite? I loved Diana.
We can get rid of it.
It's for different things.
I love certain things about it. I also, there are a lot of things.
There's a whole story to it.
I just found it wildly entertaining.
No. Exactly.
Very entertaining.
It was the pro shot that we watched on Netflix that didn't have an audience, and we were like, what?
Happening?
Mistakes were made.
I thought that clue was going to, like, it's not actually his least favorite thing, but I thought that it would get him there the fastest.
All right.
What are you going to do? My bad.
All good.
All right,
you guys did really well.
Michael and Ben, which one of you wants to receive the clues and which one of you wants to dispense the clues? You both have an opportunity to do both, so don't worry.
I will. I'll give the clues. I'll give the clues.
Give the clues.
I'll give the clues. Okay, so the categories remaining are Theater Anatomy, Tony Baloney, and The Webs We Weave.
I'll take Theater Anatomy, please.
Theater Anatomy. Let me do this.
Why is it Webs We Weave? I feel like it's just going to be Kiss of the Spider-Woman or Cheetah Rivera stuff over and over.
It's all about Spider-Man.
Oh.
It's not all about Spider-Man. That would be ridiculous.
That would be ridiculous and well worth it, frankly.
I don't know if I mentioned this. I was in the audience when one of the accidents happened. I went there for my birthday or Christmas.
Oh, no.
Happy birthday.
I think it was Christmas. That's another story, though.
Gosh, Merry Christmas to you.
That's very unfortunate.
It was unfortunate for several reasons, yes.
Yeah.
So I'm texting you now.
All right, I'm ready.
Theater Anatomy, describe these things found in theaters.
Oh, found in theaters. Ooh, okay.
Found in theaters.
Okay.
Right. E-R, not
Sandy
R-E.
Duncan.
Yeah, Sandy. You have 30 seconds, and 30 seconds starts right now.
Okay, you don't have a lot of money, but you still want to see the show.
Rush
you go
ticket.
Up. You go up.
In the mezzanine, the balcony.
That's right. And I'm playing a tuba. I must be in...
The pit, the orchestra.
Yes. And if I want to go... if I'm facing the audience, it's to my...
Stage right, stage
that's
left.
That's right. And if I have less money than the mezzanine, I need to go even further up to the...
The nosebleeds? The balcony?
Yes, and they gave me a playbill, this person.
Oh, the usher.
Yes.
I would say that counts, right?
Did we make it?
I make the rules. Everybody wins.
I feel like my clues got a little classist, and I'd like to apologize.
If you have no money.
I feel like
I don't know, also, because these days, a balcony ticket's still going to run you like $85.
That's true. That's
true. At least.
If you have money, but slightly less money. If you're lower middle class in Los Angeles, you sit in the balcony.
See, that feels more classes.
Yeah. It's not.
You're going in the wrong direction.
It's not getting better.
If you don't have very much money, you're at a small theater downtown. You're not in a balcony. Actually, you're not even there.
But the point is, it's a blessing and a gift to see a show from any seat in a theater.
Absolutely.
That's true.
What a time to be alive.
Will. You have two categories left to choose from. You have Tony Baloney and The Webs We Weave.
Let's do The Webs We Weave. I'm curious about
that. That's not what I was going to pick. Okay, let's go. No, let's do it. Let's do it. I have faith.
I want to know.
I think you'll be fine. Because...
I don't even want to be... range. No cheating.
The Webs We Weave. You'll be describing these Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals.
Webs.
Well, this should be fresh.
Yeah.
Okay.
In your mind.
Let me know when you have it.
I have it.
Great. And start whenever you want. I would suggest right now.
Dewey plays guitar.
The School of Rock.
Heaven on their minds, and it's on the whole cast's minds. And
skip it. What the hell? No, do the ones that we know. No,
you know this. All right. There's an unexpected this
song, like an unexpected song.
The show.
Oh my God! No. Wait. Was the other one Cats? I did so bad.
Wow.
OMG. I believe the judges would have accepted Jesus Christ Superstar and Song and Dance. Is that right?
It's Song and Dance, right?
Yeah. Song and Dance, yes.
Really bad. Really bad. Really bad.
Watching Bernadette Peters sing that live is so wild because she danced the entire apex of the song, flinging her arms back and forth like she's like a rag doll. Have you seen this?
Yeah.
It's such a bizarre, crazy choice. It's very free. She's very free.
It's an unexpected choice.
Yeah. The only we are seeing. Yeah. All right. I'm ready. Go for it. Here we go.
Oh, the final category, the only one left, unfortunately, for you, Michael, is Tony Baloney. You'll be describing these famous Tony performances.
Okay.
All right. And then start right now.
Leaning over a table, reaching.
Dreamgirls, Jennifer Holliday, Dreamgirls.
Yes.
And I'm telling you,
okay. Speaking of Bernadette again, her like favorite against a wall, red curly wig.
Oh shit, Mama Rose. Yes. Mama Rose's turn.
Okay, Gypsy. Lifting up a baby to the sun.
The circle of life. Lion King.
Patti LuPone tap dancing for her life.
Anything goes.
Yes. The Lin-Manuel.
In the Heights of Hamilton.
Yes. I got too excited picturing the perform. I wanted to just perform them.
Yeah.
instead of trying to describe them.
You were starting to when you went.
I don't know why my first thought was just like a vacuum cleaner.
That's good.
And I was like, how do I convey a human vacuum cleaner to you?
You did it.
Because that's...
You did it.
Hoover!
You did it. All right.
It read from the back row.
Thanks. We're all winners. It read from the balcony, which is a privileged place to be.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chris, our game master. Well done, everybody. We all win. All right. Today, we're talking duets, the greatest duets in theaterdom, and I am desperate to hear your top five. And... also, would you agree, as we always talk about, it's very difficult as a theater lover to narrow these things down.
Oh, yeah.
It's Sophie's choice. So,
yeah. It was hard even
Sophie
within.
Do I choose?
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop. It was hard even within musicals themselves. It was
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
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 All right.
I'm moment so of excited. Truth.
But I would like to point out, these aren't our like favorite of all time. These are our favorite obscure duets.
Yes. Ooh, I love it.
So, so if you're like, where's Take Me or Leave Me? It's not on this list.
Fabulous.
Okay, I'll let you go first.
Don't worry, it'll show up later in the episode.
Yeah. <I'm> sure...
Nobody panic.
Yeah.
Starting number five. All right.
Number five. I'm so excited.
We have Supposing I Should Have to Say Goodbye from The Most Happy Fella.
What on earth?
It is this couple.
Secondary couple.
Secondary couple in the show. Okay. Cleo is kind of setting a hypothetical, like, here's what is about to happen, but like, if I were to leave for some reason, how would you feel? And the whole time he's like, oh, I'd feel great because, you know, you're coming back. And she's like, no. Oh. How, if this happened, what would you say? And he's like, I'd say goodbye. And it's like, he just does not understand what she's presenting. It is so funny.
The modern equivalent, I would say, is like Kenergy. Like, he's got crazy Kenergy. Like, he is just... Bless. He's sat and waited. And I'd also say it's like those modern day things where, like, you know, when girls are like, would you still love me if I was a worm? It's like that kind of energy where she's like, what if I went away? And like, she's looking for him to say, like, I'd be devastated. But he's like, oh, no, like, you'll be back. It's all good. Like, you're not going to be a worm. You're a person.
Yeah.
I'd be so glad you're coming back from wherever you went. And it's such a long sentence that it is still not what she looks for.
Yeah. But, like, the musical theater, like, himbo energy, like, it's excellent. Yeah. Excellent. If you have the right actors in these roles, like her playing it so straight and him being just, like, so wide-eyed and, like, not understanding, it is just an excellent duet.
This sounds to me like this encapsulates a lot of relationship dynamics.
Yeah.
You know, in the men are stupid realm. Okay, great. Let's hear a little bit of it. Can we listen to it? I need to hear it. Let's hear.
Yeah, I'm so curious.
Supposing I just packed my bag and went, darling, how would you feel, darling?
I'd feel content that you'd be back pretty soon from wherever it was you went.
I'm gonna give you one
one more chance.
Yes.
Oh my god, I love the orchestration.
Oh, I can't wait to.
Oh, it's all in there. That's magical. Oh my gosh. See, you're broadening my horizons. Number four.
There's always a woman from Anyone Can Whistle, which is Cut song. We were introduced to it from a concert where it was sung by Madeline Kahn and Bernadette Peters. And it is just like, first of all, like Sondheim at his very best, where it's like pitting two women against each other, but like not in like a stereotypical way. It's like they're both so smart, they're both so cunning, and it's like that frenemy where it's like, I'm not gonna tell you to your face how I really feel in words. I'm gonna sort of skirt around it in a very clever way, and they're both on each other's level. It's very, very fun. And it's also like, I think for me, if I were putting together a cabaret and I wanted a duet of two women, like, this isn't it every time. Like, it's just such a fun number, and it allows both people to really shine.
I think this is in Putting It Together, I want to say, if you've seen that with Carol Burnett.
Oh, yeah. And, you're right. You're so right.
And what's her name? Big West End star, whose name
is Ruthie Henshaw.
Yeah. And they're so funny in it. Like, Carol Burnett especially, like, is so funny in this song. Oh, but I have to find, is it online somewhere, the Bernadette and Madeline Kahn?
Yes. Yeah.
Ooh, I have to find this.
Okay, we have to hear this right now.
Yes.
I'm dying.
To spoil the illusion, the rotten banana that ruins the bunch. There's always a woman who causes confusion. There's nothing as low as a woman. We must lunch.
Love to.
Noonish.
Tomorrow.
Today.
My place.
Mine.
There's always a woman, the one disappointment, the note that goes sour and gums up the tune, the ant at the picnic, the fly in the ointment, There's nothing as low as a woman. Ring me soon. Love to. Leaving?
I thought.
I know.
What? I just can't even hear Madeline Kahn's voice do anything without immediately falling out laughing. It's like
the best.
For the moment you hear the cadence of her voice, you're like, this is genius and completely bizarro. I love it.
Yeah.
So much. That's great. That is a fabulous nugget.
It's a gem for sure.
Yeah.
It is such a gem.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Yeah. And like even these cut songs from Anyone Can Whistle would still be the best song in so many other musicals.
Yeah, that's so true.
Would be the best song in Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark by a mile.
The tangled web.
The tangled web that is.
We weave. Oh. I love that.
Amazing.
All right.
All right, number three.
Number three, Shut Up and Dance from My Favorite Year.
Oh.
It is so sweet. My Favorite Year itself, it's this kind of like big, broad comedic show about putting on a live comedy special weekly on TV in the 50s. And this main character is like a young kid who it's his first job, you know, writing, and he really grows up over the year. So there's a lot of big comedy. And then out of this story that isn't a love story, there's a lovely little duet where he and the girl that he likes and she likes him, they have a quiet moment on the set and they, you know, dance, and it's like out of a Disney movie. Those like the best of those beautiful ballads that are there. I love it.
Oh my gosh. Aww. Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Two with only this, so shut up and
Well, you'll have to tune in next time to hear the end. Yeah.
To hear how it ends.
I have a hunch, but we can't be sure. Well, that is gorgeous and was completely off my radar.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever even heard that before.
Yeah.
Aaron's and Flaherty.
So
come
beautiful.
On.
And those orchestrations. It's Michael Starobin and Danny Troob, the same year that they did everything for Aladdin and had just come off of Beauty and the Beast. Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's that same tone. Roots are so magical.
Who are the singers there? Who are the actors in that?
Evan Pappas and
yes.
Lionel Stevens.
Oh, is this gorgeous. A show? Did Andrea Martin win a Tony for this?
She did. This was her Broadway debut. Okay. Right after this song, it's like the biggest Andrea Martin feature. So it's like very quiet moment. And then she's like, hey, I'm here and I'm about to win my Tony in front of you.
as she's wont to do.
Yeah.
Andrea Martin.
Here she goes again.
Oh, I'm inspired. Okay.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Two more. Teach me what you know.
Next one is a Comden and Green banger. Okay.
Yes.
So it's called the French Lesson. And the concept is the female character, female presenting character in this is a French tutor. And her pupil is learning. So it's like this call and response. I'll let you get into the details of it because you're better explaining it than I am.
It was written for the movie version of Good News. And Comden and Green, this was the first Broadway, the first film that they were offered like to do the screenplay themselves. And MGM approaches them and they're like, hey, do you want to do this? Do you want to rewrite this musical for us? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. As long as it's not one of those goofy 1920s college football musicals. We hate those. Those are the worst. And they're like, oh, okay, well, this is the one that invented that genre. And they're like, oh, no, we mean we love those. Yeah.
We love to work.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And so this is, French teacher, student learning French. and it's a runaway train.
Yeah, we've performed this a couple of different times now, and it crushes every time. And then we're performing in an upcoming concert in April where we will be doing this number again, which I can give you the details after we play, because I have to
Great. That's fair. Ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
Le livre.
Le livre, the book.
The pen, la plume.
La plume, the pen.
La chaise.
La chaise.
Le crayon.
Le crayon.
Le cahier.
Le cahier.
Le papier.
Le papier.
Rouge, noir et blanc. A red, black and white.
Rouge, blanc et noir.
You're fairly bright. Now, please go back.
Ah, but I get them right. Rouge, blanc et noir. Le papier, le cahier, le crayon, la chaise, la plume, le livre. Le livre est rouge. La chaise est noire.
That's wonderful.
You call this work, it's more like play. In no time flat, your pal won't say.
Had enough?
Oh, my God.
And each verse accrues more words that you then hear. It's like the house that Jack built thing. It just keeps growing.
Also, you know it's a bop when literally everybody, recording and networking, all of us start to bop our heads. We all looked like little bobbleheads the whole time that was going.
Yeah.
Like little Robin and Green bobbleheads.
It's so impressive live. Mm-hmm. It's so impressive. It's such a banger.
I just put myself in the mindset of being like on a stool trying to sing this song in front of a live audience.
It's all, you're always sweating bullets before you do it, and then afterwards you're like, that was so fun. Right.
But is it one of those songs, like, once you learn it, it never leaves you? Mm-hmm. Because it's so...
God, I hope so.
Yeah. Like, once I figured out Docious Aliexpistic Fragicali Rupus, it's like, that will just always be there. Like, this feels like one of those songs where you're like, wait, do you need me to whip out this French verse? Because I got it.
Yeah. Like, just got it.
All right.
All right.
I love it. Number one, moment of truth. Oh.
We built this category around, like, how do we talk about this song?
Yeah.
Great.
This is Nobody Knows This Show from the musical Bajur, which was a Chita Rivera flop from 1964 or 5. It's called Honest Man, where these two secondary characters, they are these... fathers that have arranged for their son and daughter to marry, and they're gonna like kind of bring their families together for it. It's very there's like a lot of like a crime element too, but they are just like little crooks, and they're singing about how now we get along, but they clearly do not.
Yeah, neither of them trust one another. Yeah. Mm. And they're trying to present good face, but at the same time, they're like, I got my eye on you. Yeah.
So every time they say something nice about each other, they then take that same phrase and say it kind of as a sarcastic aside to
the audience. Yeah.
Okay. Ooh. Ooh, this is fun.
All right, hit it. I'm all in.
With an honest man, for a double cross is what my heart deplores. Now on me you can depend, cause I will hold up my end, and I'm sure you're gonna hold up yours. Now we're partners, like we said. I swear by every hair on my
the choreography.
You even have choreography.
Okay, it's like it's so incredibly visual. And like so the whole song they set up you're an all right guy, you're so wise. You're an all right wise guy. All right, wise guy. And then that time with, and I'm sure you're going to hold up yours. That is the last time they do that. And the audience is expecting them to say it and they don't.
Yeah.
It is
so excellent.
Beautifully constructed.
It's one of the songs that we never listen to it just once. Like when we get off this call, we're probably going to listen to it 10 times in a row. Like it's nice. Just so fun. Mm-hmm. And then you're just bopping around the house.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's so I can't
fun. Wait and that's a show thing. Full of incredible duets.
Yeah.
Walter Marx. There are two other killer duet scenes. Words, and I Can from that show are phenomenal. Ooh. Unnecessarily clever songs in this totally forgotten show.
Yeah.
And it was when you said it was Cheetah, I was like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can kind of picture the like graphic imagery of it. But yeah.
You see it at the library, you're like, that looks weird, and you don't pick it up.
Right, yeah, absolutely.
But you remember it. You're like, I remember not picking that one up.
Yeah. What is this?
I remember thinking, that's not Can-Can. you guys, that's a hell of a list. That's a really good top five, and I feel like I learned something. Huh?
I was nervous. It was like too inside baseball, so I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
No, totally. That's right up my alley.
Cool. Yeah, and those were excellent. I can't wait. Yeah, now to go listen to the full ones of each of these, like, and probably then geek out over the full soundtracks. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just leads to the next thing for sure.
I mean, all of these recordings are like some of my most played albums ever.
Mm-hmm. So. Gateway duets. you guys are fabulous, and this has been so fun and delightful, and thank you for playing our reindeer games and sharing
No, it was such a pleasure. It's like a real honor to be here and do this with you. I'm such a big fan of
thank you.
Oh my gosh.
And remind our friends where they can follow you and anything you have coming up. Like, do all the plugs right now. Do it.
Yeah. So Instagram, TikTok, Threads, if you're a threadhead. it's at the Theater Lovers, @TheTheaterLovers _ LOVERS. ER and ER. My personal Instagram is @itsRachelJoyce, @itsRachelJoyce.
And my personal is @WLANDER.
You can also follow our dog Dot @our _dog_dot.
Oh, I'm doing it right now. Yeah,
he's going to be a star.
Yes.
If I have to will that into existence. And then we'll be performing The French Lesson as guests in a friend of ours, Nikki Sorrento's show at the Laurie Beachman, my bad, on Friday.
Laurie Beachman Place.
I'm nervous. On Friday, April 19th at 7 p.m. So we'll be with many other performers, and we're just going to pop in and do the French Lesson real quick and leave. Just this is perfectly our brand.
Slay the house down, boots mama, and bounce.
And then again, as by the time this is airing, Birthday Buddies will be on YouTube, and we'll have it cut up into parts so you can enjoy all the different wonderful performers we had come.
Oh, well, and I can't wait to hear the mashup of 31.
We're very proud of it, so yeah, I hope you enjoy it.
All right, friends, go forth and keep spreading the theater joy. You're magical.
Thank you. It's an honor.
Okay. All right.
They were everything I wanted them to be and more, those theater lovers.
Oh my God, the best.
And say about getting slapped in the face with a fish, we can now reveal that, at least I can reveal, that none of those super left of center choices that they made for their top five are anywhere near my top five.
I feel educated.
Same. I feel elevated. I feel a little stupid, but I also feel like it's time for me to listen to all of those because those are really fun.
Yeah. I was just like, what? And also words, it's like, I've heard that word and I didn't know what it meant. It's like when somebody, you know, says something in Spanish and I'm like, I learned that in seventh grade, but I couldn't tell you what it is. I feel like that was half of those. I was like, I know some words, but I don't know what all of those are. Bonjour.
But they're really fun. All really, really fun songs that they chose.
Yes. Yes.
And I know you've been airing in your top 10. You were giving us some fun ones too.
I was trying to give upbeat because
you gave us Grass is Greener
today. Yeah.
Yeah.
The grass is always greener. Oh my God.
All right. I did at number 10, Wheels of a Dream from Ragtime. Number 9, it had to be a sideshow duet, and I went with the Who Will rather than the I Will, which is Who Will Love Me As I Am.
Mm-hmm.
At number 8, A Boy Like That / I Have a Love from West Side Story. The fire, the elegance, all happening at once. Number 7, Move On from Sunday in the Park with George. I usually do. And then for number 6, I went with the deceptively pop-tastic Unworthy of Your Love from Assassins.
Ah, so good. And mine, beginning 10, it was, you are the top, you're the Coliseum, you're the GOPR GOP. as Patti LuPone shouts from Anything Goes. 9, the fabulous dance duet, really, Nowadays / Hot Honey Rag from Chicago. Uh-huh. At number 8, The Grass Is Always Greener from Woman of the Year. Number 7, Nothing Without Me from City of Angels.
What, and inspired. Ben,
you, yeah. Inspired. I was about to say, I'm nothing without you. But to quote the song, probably, you're nothing without me.
Yeah. You are some gumshoe.
And then number 6, Lily's Eyes from Secret Garden.
Exquisite.
Beautiful.
Ah, so beautiful. And there's so many great versions to listen to on,
oh, yeah,
online.
Yes.
Online. What did we ever do before the YouTube where we get to see all of these theater clips all the time? Would I have survived my childhood if I could actually get eyeballs on these things?
See, I don't know.
I would have exploded.
Yeah, and making friends even. Like, when I went to school in London, and the conversation that my roommate and I, bonded over was, who was the best Mrs. Lovett? And we got into sort of, a thing, and we spent our whole first night living together on YouTube looking up all the Mrs. Lovetts. And my favorite was Carolyn O'Connor, and I think I won.
Oh.
We're
not talking about her enough, Carolyn O'Connor.
No.
I will tell you that I did buy her album when I was in London, and I went to Dress Circle. Do you remember Dress Circle?
Mm-mm.
It was the cast album Rare Finds Theater Shop in London.
I don't know that I ever went there. Clearly, I have to go back.
It would be on par with the Colony. Used to be kind of deal, but smaller. And so you could get all of those theater artists albums. And I bought the Caroline O'Connor album there.
I have
on compact
that album
disc. She's on the cover. She's in a very beautiful hinge.
She's leaning so far back.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's got the control to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. I met her once in Times Square and I was like, I love you. And she's like, who, me? She was so shocked that somebody stopped her on the street.
I was when she was in Anastasia and they came to do Broadway sessions, and I was going goo goo gaga over her, and I was kind of the same deal. She's like, "You're not supposed to know who I am."
She's like, "I fly kind of under the radar in New York." I was like, "Listen, the amount of times I have watched you sing the most unhinged version of Mabel, Look What Happened to Mabel."
Oh.
Just, my God, when she rips that top dress off and all of a sudden she's in her all that jazz outfit, but she's still belting out Look What Happened to Mabel. Oh, it's great.
She's a gem. And if you don't know who we're talking about, she's the most featured chorus lady person in the Moulin Rouge film.
Yes, she's
Roxanne.
She's
all over it. She's Roxanne. That's how that's said.
Yeah, but she's also a massive Broadway musical theater star all over the world.
And she's constantly working. She's constantly doing whatever role she wants. It's like she's Mame, and now she's Mama Rose, and now she's Zolli Levi, but now she's Fosca.
And everywhere, in Italy and in New Zealand and in, Mumbai. She's all over the place.
I love the Mumbai production of Hello, Dolly.
It was
Carolina
so good. All right. Shall we get into it? Let's do it.
All right.
I think we can. Narrowed it down. We'll see. I've narrowed it down to 7, so we're going to see what happens.
I am locked into mine in a very confident way.
Oh, good. Okay.
I feel rock solid.
I'm deeply envious of you. Then would you like to... Who started last time? I think I started last time, right?
Or did... who knows? Yeah. I'll start. That's great.
Great. If you're locked in, go for it.
I'm locked in. All right. My number 5. And you guys, this is... big stuff when you hit the number 5 of any of these countdowns. There's so many duets out there. All right, my number 5 is from The Color Purple, and it's What About Love?
Oh, good.
Color Purple. There's something about the way this melody soars into that harmony that they have, and I'm going to play it here in a second. But there's just, it's so ear delicious, this song. And it's Seeley and Suge, and it's kind of the closest we're going to get to actually touching on the lesbian relationship that they were in, that was in the book, that they were too afraid to really double down on in the film. And, the Broadway musical in both incarnations, it's always just kind of suggested, and that they have this really tight bond. And I was watching the clip of this earlier today, and there's this really, because I chose a clip
of Heather Headley and Cynthia Erivo. Because that's one of the most profound nights in the theater I've ever had, was seeing Heather Headley and Cynthia together in The Color Purple.
Yeah.
The two performances together, I didn't know what to do with myself about the whole thing. But there's a moment where it's kind of this like back and forth of like, do we feel this? Can we trust this? What about this? What about that? We have all these things, but they can't really say it. And there's a moment where Celie, Cynthia Erivo, sticks out her hand. She gets like, okay, maybe I've got this all wrong. And she puts out her hand for a handshake to Suge. And Suge like kind of recoils from her hand and is like, no, 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 mama. We're not shaking hands on this. This is a deeper love than that. And it kind of takes her by surprise. But it is just the most beautiful melody. And there's something about the way this harmony kicks in that just sweeps me away. And you're all going to get chills when we listen to this. So my number five is What About Love from The Color Purple. Cynthia Erivo and Heather Headley is my choice to listen to. But listen to all of them.
I'm so
excited.
Hit it.
What about this? What about
Oh, forget it. Did you get them? Did you get the chills?
I did.
I got the chills.
I could just sit and keep listening to that. I remember I saw that, and then I called, like on a Tuesday, and I called my mom in Syracuse. Mm-hmm. I was like, get in the car and drive down. We're seeing the show.
Yeah.
And she did, so I saw it twice that week.
Good. But it was that important a moment in theater,
it was.
I think.
I was like, this can't be missed.
No, not to be missed. I love that song.
I'm so glad, because that was on my list. So that makes room for another one.
I'm clearing the way. I'm trailblazing. I'm bushwhacking.
So I'm so glad. I'm so glad you did. Okay. So my number five, when I think of great duets, I do think of Into the Woods. I think there are a lot of very fun ones in Into the Woods.
Yes, there are.
And I don't know which ones you chose, because there's many to choose from. But the one that I have the most fun listening to is Agony. And I know there's a whole bunch, and people listening to this are going to be like, but what about that one? What about this one? But Agony to me just kills me. I think it is so funny. I love when it's done in cabarets, and especially you've got two, you know, the voice of Agony, like when you've got two great singers on it. And just being so wonderfully doofy. And I find
it's
doofy humor.
It's so funny.
It is.
It's a hilarious song.
And they're in a way kind of roasting their princesses, which also is very funny. Like in the whole like world of fairy tale, to hear him like kind of kvetching about how he has to like climb up her hair. And then like when it comes back again and he's like the endless, agony. Like it's just so funny how it's like what they want. And then once they get it, then it ends with like, well, back to my wife. Like it's so clever, and I think it's just, it gets me every time. And so, and I think everyone wants to play the princes for that reason, so they can do that song, you know.
I couldn't agree more. Absolutely.
Can I just ask, if there's Into the Woods, was that the one you were thinking, or is there a different Into the Woods one that was on your list?
That was it.
That was it. Okay, great, thank you.
Well, like a full match set right there. Yeah.
Okay. I know, Chris, if you have some Agony.
I adore it. Oh, he does.
Okay, good.
Agony, misery, though it's different for each. Always 10 steps behind,
always 10 feet below,
and she's just out of reach. Agony, that can cut like a knife. I must have her to watch.
Thank you.
So good.
It's so good. I remember that's one of those songs that when I was watching the PBS Great Performances Into the Woods as a kid, that I kind of had a jaw drop moment and went, this is all the musical theater that I want. Mm-hmm. I love those men's voices, those big barrel chested baritone voices. It's funny as can possibly be. I think it's a masterpiece of duettery.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I'm gonna
go one step further, and I know this may not be a totally popular opinion with purists, but I love the way they did this in the film, where the princes were in that little like stream waterfall, and they're kicking the water around and ripping their shirts open for no reason and just buffooning. And I just thought it was so right on the money, so in the pocket of what that song is. And I know people have their opinions about the movie, but I loved the way that it was done there because I think it's kind of bulletproof.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, exactly. I agree. I agree. Oh, great. Okay.
And that was your number five, wasn't
it? That was my number five, yeah.
All right. Well,
this is my number... all of my top choices are potential number ones. So let's of course. Be realsies.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Normally, I would get all sneaky-weaky with you and say, but I'm just going to say it and we'll just move on. My number four was Agony.
Yay. My number four is Agony. Perfect.
And I sometimes would take a moment to say, but here's another one that I get to put in. But my truth is that I think Agony is my number four choice. So
okay,
that's it. My number four is Agony.
Great.
So, like your number five. So onward we go.
Two birds with one duet. All right. My number four is going to be... it's going to be Old Fashioned Wedding from Annie Get Your Gun.
Oh.
Another musical with some very fun duets, with a very famous duet that, like, anything you can do, I can do better. Wow. Everybody knows that duet. I think Old Fashioned Wedding is actually more fun because it's sort of like how you picked other ones where it's like two songs layered on, where he sings the kind of wedding he wants, and then the one she wants is a very different tune. But then when they overlap, it becomes such a fun sort of layering of two songs. And also, again, so funny. Like, I'm picturing the version when it was the revival of Bernadette Peters and Tom Wopat, and he's standing there, and she's just bouncing around him. Which, again, thank you, Rosie O'Donnell. I'm pretty sure they did it on the Rosie O'Donnell show. And she's just so funny in it. And then also, so many people have taken that song and done parody versions where they rewrite the lyrics to be about two very different things. So I just, of the Annie Get Your Gun ones, I was drawn to Annie Get Your Gun because of Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better, and then ended up settling on Old Fashioned Wedding.
And I agree. I think this is the greater of the two duets.
Oh, good. Thank you.
And maybe just because Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better, it's really long, and B, it's so fun, but it's so iconic. Mm-hmm. It's so outside of the show itself. In like every variety show of the 60s, everybody sang it to each other.
Yeah.
And the Muppets would sing it. And I think there's something really fun and telling about the characters in the... I'm on a big jerk.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. An honor, love and honor, yes, but not obey. Somewhere I want a wedding ring surrounded by diamonds and platinum. A big reception at the Waldorf with champagne and caviar. I want a wedding like the Vanderbilts have, not really big, not small. Champagne's not a big wedding, I don't want to get married at all.
Ah,
satisfaction.
Cute. Cute. And again, that sort of throwback to when musicals also were like, they had a story, but it still had that slight like variety special tonality to it, where like the songs were kind of standalone in a way. Like,
sure.
So.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Anyway. And that's another, you can kind of plug it in, plug and play it anywhere and give it whatever context you like. And it's still going to be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And a toe tapper.
And a toe tapper, which I love. Yeah. My toes are busy.
Your toes are
busy. I'm perpetually that scene from Thoroughly Modern Millie where she's typing and tapping all the sounds. That is my life.
How did they do that?
How freaking clever was that?
Genius.
Yeah.
All right. My number three, I feel so very strongly about. Now, this is a song from an off-Broadway musical. And when I say musical, it's kind of a review. It's a Maltby and Shire review. Maltby and Shire, who were represented on Broadway with Baby, who we had some really amazing songs in it.
Yeah.
But there's an off-Broadway review called Closer Than Ever, the songs of Maltby and Shire. And there is a female duet in there called Never That Easy / I've Been Here Before. Mm-hmm. And it's one of those songs that, once again, it kind of exists as two songs and then they layer it, right? Kind of exactly what you were just saying, where this is a perspective song of a woman who's kind of been around the block and a woman who's like just now being freshly traumatized by a man. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the advice offering going down. So this is kind of the... Maybe this is where you might want to put I Know Him So Well from Chess, but I'm saying this is a better song.
Okay.
So there's the older woman who lives in this kind of more dramatic-y lyric soprano place, and then the second song, I've Been Here Before, comes in with the like super chesty belt goodness, and then they layer on top of each other. And it's women communicating about finding their power and moving beyond the trauma of how men make them feel, right? Which... Wow. Is, I don't know, anybody relate to that in the world? besides absolutely everyone. It is a stunner. They did an off-Broadway production with Jen Colella singing the big alto part at the York Theater a few years back, actually. It's a four-person cast.
Okay.
And there's some great songs in there. Miss Bird, you know that song?
No, and I was going to say, I've seen this... cover so many times, but I don't
song, yeah.
really know the music from it, so I'm so glad.
Some great music in there, but I love this. I love this song, and there's something so powerful of these two songs from different perspectives that they come together. When they come together, they find that they agree that they are more than their relationships.
Wow.
And it's just musically, well, I guess you could march to it, is what I'm saying. It's so good. And now. I've Been Here Before / Never That Easy.
Okay.
And we'll do the original off-Broadway cast recording for this one. It's so good. With Sally Mays, who I love.
Ooh.
I rush to pray that I can break my heart all over. The man leaves and I'm on my own. I wish to hear and simply watch the door.
I mean, what's really great too, which is very clever in the writing, is that in this last cadence, they switch the lyric. And she now says, Sally Mays belting her guts out as kind of the younger woman, more freshly traumatized, is like, but it's never that easy. She takes her line and they swap it, which I just think is really, really effective storytelling.
That is so good.
You loved it. I saw your face. You loved it.
I did, and that sneaky saxophone. Who saw that coming? Literally nobody saw that saxophone coming. And yeah, that was such a... Because I've never heard that. That was so pretty.
Solo saxophone sneaking in there.
Oh, I mean, who doesn't love a sneaky saxophone?
A song played on a solo saxophone. I love that song so very much. And that's my number three, and I'm sticking to it.
And that's a good one. I'm glad you're stuck it where you put it.
Thanks, Paul.
That leads me into that makes me decide what my number three is. Because again, as I said, I have a giant list in front of me. My number three is going to be, because the soaring soprano made me think of one of the greatest sopranos we currently have working. That is Ms. Kelly O'Hara. Ah. And this is, I know you like the score of this too, from Bridges of Madison County, 1 Second in a Million Miles. I think it's such a beautiful duet. What? Why are you like?
You'll see.
I think it's so gorgeous. I think the score overall is absolutely stunning. Obviously, Kelly O'Hara and Stephen Pasquale sang, I mean, like, knocked everybody's socks off. But this duet is just, it's so beautiful. It's a long song, and I'm glad it is, because you can really luxuriate in it. I'm glad that he didn't try and cut it down at all. And their chemistry is off the charts, and just, oh, I mean, just this melody is just so stunning. Yeah. I don't even know. There's so much to say. And I had a friend who's a director who threw this out about Bridges of Madison County. And stop me if I've already said this, because, again, I have the memory of a goldfish. He was like, one day I want the show to be revived at like Circle in the Square and have it be a really simple set where it's just like a bed and a dresser and it's a three-person cast. It's just her, her husband and him. And they've cut out everything else. And it's like a tight like 70-minute, just the three of them. And he was like, and it's like a table, chairs, and a bed. And he was like, I want to see this fully, fully stripped down version of Bridges. Which I loved Bridges of Madison County, don't get me wrong. But I would be so intrigued to see that revival in
Power of the piece generally happens pretty in what you're saying. It happens in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. There's that whole song where they're just cooing at each other. Mm-hmm. Oh, and they just go on for ages and you're like, they're so in love, I can feel it. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just play the song.
Let's play the song. Yeah, we could. Now it's becoming just about Bridges and not just the duet. So here we go. 1 second in a million miles. So.
All right. If you recall, if we go back a couple episodes, that was one of Doug Lyon's songs that he likes to sing in the shower. Mm-hmm. And I think I've talked about this song on show about a thousand times.
Rightfully so.
It's the best. And you know what I was thinking? On our countdown, and this is also true of the Theater Lovers, not a lot of our duets are love duets.
I know, which is interesting, right? Because there's so many good ones.
Well, you would think that's where we go first, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm looking back at this, Wheels of a Dream, not a love song. No, these are not like, I love a man loves a woman, love songs. Very few of them. What about love, I guess? But this is the one of all of the love songs that I think is just the most... Yeah. Gorgeous, and that's a word I've just made up.
Exactly. Well, and I feel like I had some love songs, but then I did veto some of them because I feel like some of the more like classic love songs, like So in Love and Almost Like Being in Love from Big of June, some of those, like, yes, it's two people singing, but it tends to be them singing the same song, just
it's what
taking
we talked
turns
about
with
episode
it.
With If I Loved You.
And there's some, like, If I Loved You, stunning song, but... You know, we gave ourselves those rules, and I'm glad we did.
I love that. So, all right. I don't mind telling you, as we creep to the front of the list, that my number two was 1 second in a million miles.
Oh.
And it was very nearly. But this time, I am going to take this opportunity to gift it to your list.
Okay.
And I'm going to give a shout out to another love song from Jason Robert Brown. But this is also... an off-Broadway situation, and I'm going to put on my list as my number two, adjacent to 1 second a million miles, is I'd Give It All for You from Songs for a New World.
Another show I don't really know. So
which is the Jason Robert review show that starred Andrea Burns and Brooks Ashmanskas and Billy Porter and Jessica Mulaski. Ty Taylor actually did the cast album because Billy Porter had issues with his record company when he was doing his pop albums way back then. But this song is a look back on two people who shared a life and come back to it and say, oh my God, what did I do wrong? And if I could do all of this again. And it's just, it was one of the first times that Jason Robert Brown, well, I think it was the first time for any of us that Jason Robert Brown was really on our radars, was when this came out.
Yeah,
because it was really kind of before.
Because this is before Last 5 Years, right? This was.
Yeah. And I think it was the reason we all got so excited about Last 5 Years. Which is also interesting. I don't have no Last 5 Years in here, but that's also.
Well, tricky. I was thinking about that, but I was like, I feel like Last 5 Years as a show is a great duet.
Yeah.
My number two is the entirety of Last 5 Years.
5 Years. Absolutely. So this song gets sung in cabarets an awful lot. And they did a great City Center revival with Saleha Pfeiffer and Shoshana Bean not so long ago, and Michael Kilgore. It's a great, great song. So my honorary number two, because it's also Jason Robert Brown, is I'd Give It All For You.
Nice.
Head
up. There were oceans to cross.
There were mountains to conquer.
And I stood on the shore.
And I stood on the cliff. And the second before I jumped, I knew where I needed to be. Oh, I gave it all for you. I gave it all for you by my side once more. Oh, I gave it all for you. I gave it 'cause it's harder to touch the things that are dearer. I love you too much to trust something clearer.
Yeah, right?
That is that so nice.
So good! And it's also, all the Jason Robert Brown also gives us those great duets in Parade. But Parade. Those tend to be very one-side heavy, each of them. But
yeah, that's why All the Wasted Time didn't end up making my life.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's really his song.
And you can't see us, but if you could see us, you would see that producer Danny was showing us once again that that was a very marchable song.
That's a marchable song.
Once again, on brand.
Also, I want to learn that song, and the next time my boyfriend picks a fight, I want to sing that at him. I gave it all for you. And he'll be so confused. He'll be like, I don't know what you're talking about.
No, but you'll drive it home. You'll drive it home. Yeah. That's
I love that. Also, I love that one that I haven't heard before, so that's very exciting.
I can't believe you haven't heard that.
That's now two I've never heard.
This is very exciting. I'm happy that I can be educating you today. But we're once again, we're this in the off-Broadway realm.
That's true.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay, my number
two. What's your number two?
Speaking of off-Broadway, things that are currently off-Broadway but have gone to Broadway, my number two, this is going to, you went from one that I didn't know to I'm going to pick one that we all know, which is super cliche, and it's for a reason, and it is Suddenly Seymour from Little Shop of Horrors. I think this is like
God
saying my favorite
you.
Opera is La Boheme. I know it's cliche, but like it's cliche for a reason because it is such a great duet. And now that we're talking about love stories, I think as far as love duets go, this one is so good. Talk about like a couple of underdogs who you are just rooting for. And then they both get to just like really sing their faces off here. I think there's a reason that people who don't even know musical theater know this song.
Yeah.
And if you're, you know, if you're playing Audrey, you know, if you did it like they do in the current production where she sort of like vocally keeps somewhere that green kind of quiet, like this is the first song where she really gets to like let her rip. And I feel I feel like this is the song sort of like Defying Gravity. There are certain songs that when you go see a show, you're just like sitting and waiting for it. And I feel like from Little Shop, the show is so beloved, and then of all the songs in that show, this is the show everyone's waiting for. Or the song, sorry. So it had to, it's just one of the greatest duets, I think.
I'm going to talk more after we listen, but.
Okay, And Chris, whichever version you want to choose, choose away.
He's got a version.
Do I just keep like.
Yes, you can. Let it be mine.
turned to Donna Brown.
With sweet understanding. With sweet understanding.
With sweet understanding.
With sweet understanding.
Oh, Michael Judson Berry, I have so much to say on the subject.
Okay, great.
The reason Chris had that track ready to go is because I sent that as my backup for, and it, because it was also very nearly on my list, and I just, in case we had some crossover, I was ready with it.
Great.
Think about it. It's this explosion of this character, particularly for Audrey, that as a show pony piece and vocally takes her into this wild stratosphere of, like, Audrey's one of the craziest, wackiest characters ever, right?
Yeah. Oh,
and,
yeah.
And
she's an alien.
I think, and I think for so many of us, this is, the Little Shop of Horrors film is, in my opinion, the best movie musical of all time. I think
I wouldn't argue that. I think that's a pretty perfect movie musical.
I think it's the one for me, and I think I may have said so in a countdown last season. But there's something wonderful about the silly simpleness of what the lyric is. Suddenly Seymour is standing beside you, and he's not giving you. It's that simple, and obviously the melody is like, try to get it out of your head. You'll never get it out of your head.
Get out of here. Yeah.
But I think there's something so magical in this, and this is one of those songs in that moment when she belts out that I fell in love with belting and women in theater, and I'm pretty sure the song made me gay. And
it did.
It did. So, yeah.
It did for you what Debbie Reynolds did to me when I was young.
Absolutely.
It's okay.
Yeah.
On Ninth Avenue. The world must be bigger. And I was like, it is.
It is.
Yeah, I just think it. I mean, I'm not entirely sure which one of these other ones I'm going to pick as number one to follow that now that I've listened to it again. Ugh, it's such a good one.
It's great. And it is classic Menken. Musically, it's classic pop, melody-driven, Alan Menken, Howard Ashman goodness. It's undeniably good.
Yeah.
And it will be sung in every cabaret for the rest of time.
And
all right. I'll clap.
Oh, 1,000%. I'm going to sing along.
Yeah. And also, in that movie, that was the movie version, they do the yes, you can, and they hold it an extra measure in the film. And so when I see people, particularly at Broadway sessions at the Green Room 42 in New York City every other Thursday, make sure you get your tickets online. When people come to sing that song, I get, because if you just look at the music, it's yes, you can learn how to be more. You got to hold it out. You got to hold it out like they do in the movie. It's so satisfying. I love that. All right. Golly gee. I'm overcome. I'm moved.
You can do this. I have such faith in you.
All right. Number one. Which is funny because...
Girl.
The theater lovers earlier in this very episode said, so you're not going to see any of this song on their list. And I may or may not have said just moments ago, it may come into play later, and here it is. I think this is, of the iconic musical theater duets, you hear the first three chords of this song, and you know what thrill ride you're about to go on. And it is, you know, it is a 65-35 split as far as the vocal goes. So how duet-y is it in the truest sense? It's not evenly split up. But there is nothing more delicious for two singers to sing in the musical theater canon than Take Me or Leave Me from Rent. That is the number one greatest musical theater duet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very narrowly edging out 1 Second in a Million Miles. But also another twist on a love duet. They're just at each other's throats and mocking each other. And it speaks so much to each of their characters and their relationship. And it is just a banger. And I think this is one of the songs, if not the song, that stuck with everybody the first time they listened to Rent.
Oh, yeah. Because there are a lot of great duets in Rent. I mean,
yes.
On your own. Like, there's so many really good ones. I'll cover you, obviously. But this one was the one everyone wanted to sing after.
That you're like, oh, like, my God, this is the angry lesbian duet.
Yeah. And who doesn't love that?
Like, I know. It went, okay, fine. I give in to you, Rent. Rent, you are, I am yours forever. There is a really fun version of Aaron Tveit and Gavin Creel singing this online, which I invite you to look out. They may or may not touch each other's butts. It's wonderful. But I want to be a purist about this and just listen to the original Broadway cast album.
Perfect.
But Take Me or Leave Me from Rent is the number one.
Perfect.
Here they are. I stand behind it.
Oh,
plant
my God.
My flag in the soil.
Oh, my God. I just, at the time of recording this, I just saw Limpika, and that's not all I can think about.
Is Eden singing the song?
No, it's just like an angry lesbian relationship.
Like, absolutely.
About two women there. Being like, take me as I am. Because I feel like, anyway. I digress. That's such a good song.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I rocked out to that. So I wore that CD out, let me tell you.
And the fact that it's a barn burner rock up-tempo duet is really fun, too. Because so many of them, we love a ballad duet, right? We got to get the feelings out. But the fact that this is a scorcher is really, really cool.
And total scorcher. Okay.
Come on.
Two shows.
Make your choice, Johnny.
Two shows stand before me. two Angela Lansbury songs stand before me.
Oh, I know which one I would choose if I were you.
Okay.
If I am guessing, which I imagine I am.
There are two different Angela Lansbury shows, two different Angela Lansbury duets, two very famous duets. Yeah. I went cliche with Suddenly Super. Well, they're both cliche. I'm going to go with Little Priest from Sweeney Todd. The one I was on the fence about was Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies.
Because honestly, like Bosom Buddies obviously is perhaps the quintessential Broadway duet, right? Sure. There's a reason that every chance they got, Angela and B got up there and did it with their little walk. Oh. And it's listing and it's funny. But I'm going to go with Little Priest because I think it's such an amazing duet because it's two villains plotting about, thank you for giving me the heart symbol, two villains just like plotting about how they're gonna kill people and turn them into pies, but it's funny. It's hysterical. And they are cracking each other up, talking about how they're gonna literally become serial killers and turn the whole neighborhood into cannibals. Like, it is so messed up. And if you think about also when it opened originally on Broadway, people left the theater because they were so disturbed by this. They were disturbed by the show. People walked out of the show. So any song that is like so upsetting that people literally leave, like kudos, because it's so good. And I think like every musical theater person, no matter who you are, if you get a chance, you have sung this song. You have dreamed of being either Lovett or Sweeney doing this song. This was more of a personal one. I think of all the duets out there, this is just my personal favorite.
I love it. It also operates on so many levels. Lyrically, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Right? With the play. But then it also gets into their motivation of all of it's really.
Mm-hmm. It tells you who's driving the show. It's really her.
It's fast.
Oh my God. And you can have just such fun with it. Locksmith. Oh my God. Have you seen the video of when Dorothy Loudon took over? And it's on YouTube when she does it with George Hearn, and she's just having the best time. It's like she spends the whole song looking at the audience like they're her friend listening.
Ayo, uh-uh.
In proper it's Dorothy Loudon fashion.
It's hot.
Yeah. Blow on it first. It's just one of those songs where, like, the only ones having more fun than the audience are the actors, and we're all just in this party together. We're all in this crazy pants pie.
I was just thinking, don't you think that any actors out there who want to do Sweeney Todd and want to play one of those two lead roles is about 80% because they want to do this number?
I think so. Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And the great thing, too, like, you don't even have to be a great singer to nail this song. You can sing the hell out of it. You can talk your way through it. It's for everybody. Yeah. So it's for
all people.
It's for everybody. And another, like, deliciously long
song. It's for priests. It's for piccolo players. It's for vicars.
For
it's
green
for
grocers.
Yeah.
Actually, it's for none of them because they end up in the pie, yeah, poor things.
That's true.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Shall we listen to a little bit of it?
Oh, I'm dying to now. Gosh, this show really makes me love theater. Oh, boy.
No, the clergy is really too coarse and too mealy. Yes, and always arrives overdone. I'll come again when you have judge on the menu.
Right, we haven't got judge yet, but sitting for the next
have
best thing.
Charity towards the world, my pet.
Yes, I know, Mama.
We'll take the customers that we can get.
High born and low, Mama.
We'll not discriminate great from small. No, we'll serve anyone.
Uproarious applause, potential standing ovation.
Oh my god. And can you march to that? You can kind of march to that. It's a jaunty march, but you can do it.
It's kind of a skippy march.
Oh my god. And even at the end, goes to show Mrs. Lovett, she gets the last word in, where he's like, we'll serve anyone, meaning anyone. She's like, uh-uh, and to anyone. For her, she's like, this is about the selling. And to anyone at all. Like, where it's almost like she's listening, she's like, uh-uh, but the main point of this is we're making money. Like, right till the end, it's Mrs. Lovett calling the shots. And it's just, it's so good.
Why she's one of the greatest characters in musical theater.
She really
That's why you gotta go back and listen to our greatest characters in musical theater countdown if you haven't listened to that episode yet.
Exactly. And I know you had already picked a Sweeney song, but there we are. It deserves to be there twice.
Can
I just say at the end of this, my favorite duet of all time, though, really, is not from any of these shows. It's this podcast with you.
Oh, my God. Mm. How do we start this? What is this? The Ballad of Theater Countdown go?
I don't know, but we have to get you.
Was lost, alone, and counting, but what was it all for?
I was wandering the streets, just going 10, 9, 8, but all alone.
And then we found each other. And the counting started to count.
We did our best.
My God, that's right. If you enjoy the show as much as we like listening to ourselves, make sure you follow us on social media at Theater Countdown. That's theater with an R-E because we're civilized. And you can find us on Twitter/X, Theater Count. Mm-hmm. And by all means, follow us on Patreon. We have some amazing meetups and gifts and bonus episodes for the low, low, low price of just $5 a month. That's all you got to do. Subscribe, like, share, comment, rate, review, and we'll be back counting it all down.
Yes.
Next week.
Thank you, Broadway buddy, for being my bosom buddy. That is showbiz.
Showbiz kid. Oh my God, we're getting married.
Oh my God.